Hello everyone, welcome to your weekly tech update, the show that explores the newest, coolest, and craziest side of tech available on the interwebs. I'm your geek champion, Ray McNeil. Coming up on the program today, it's a bunch of stories I've had to cut from previous episodes due to time. We'll talk a high-tech breast pump that was showed off at CES this year, an e-bike that is priced out of range for almost everyone, and happening in this week's What the... I'll show you how to get banned from a cruise ship. That and a whole lot more coming up on today's edition of your weekly tech update next. The Mobvoi TicWatch range is where you go if you want high-quality Android Wear smartwatches at reasonable prices. And they were at the latest CES. Mobvoi took to the limelight to announce that they have two new TicWatches that are going to be gracing your wrists in 2019. And now they're actually available for purchase off of their website. Say hello to the TicWatch E2 and the TicWatch S2, aimed at those with an active lifestyle. Both the TicWatch E2 and the TicWatch S2 come with a range of features perfect for those of an athletic nature. Both have a heart rate sensor beneath the phone's body, and both of them come with a waterproof rating of 5 ATM, making them perfect for normal swimming or even surfing. Adding to this is TicWatch's preloaded swimming monitor mode, which helps keep track of your fitness while you're in the water. How cool. It's not all about fitness though, and even if you're not a keen swimmer, you will find plenty to enjoy with these watches. Both are full-fledged smartwatches running Google's Wear OS, so you will have access to all of the usual smartwatch apps and watch faces, as well as support from the Google Assistant. Unfortunately, there has been no upgrade to the new Snapdragon Wear 3100 chip though. Both stick with the tried and tested Snapdragon Wear 2100. Being second generation models, you will find some improvements though from the previous TicWatch E and TicWatch S. One of the most major changes is the increased battery life. Mobvoi claims to have increased battery capacity by about 30%. That's awesome, making it possible to get 1 to 2 days on a single charge. Since a poor battery life was one of the TicWatch E's major failings, this change could help the E2 to really shine. Other elements like the design have stayed pretty much the same across the generations. You'll find the same polycarbonate build on both of these watches, and they still both look to be chunkier than competitors. Still, at this price range, you may be willing to accept these minor downsides. On the plus side, the design also includes a 1.39-inch MOLED display on both and support for playing music through Bluetooth headphones. If your eye has been caught by either of these smartwatches, then good news, they're available to buy. The TicWatch E2 is available for $160, with the TicWatch S2 coming in at $180. Amazon is working on new delivery robots, and it's already bringing the self-driving machines to the streets. Starting today, 6 Amazon Scout devices are delivering packages in a neighborhood in Snohomish County, Washington. That's just north of Amazon's Seattle home base. While the robots can navigate by themselves, an Amazon employee will accompany them, at least for now. Scout is about the size of a small cooler, and it trundles along at walking pace. Amazon claims the battery-powered robot can safely deal with obstacles such as pedestrians and pets. However, it's not yet clear how Scout verifies customers' identity to make sure its storage hatch opens only for the correct people. Amazon is far from the only company working on delivery robots, though. The e-commerce giant's expansive ecosystem could give Scout more of an advantage over rival robots. It's not unlikely that Scout or future versions of it will work with Key, which opens your door and soon your garage to let couriers drop off packages inside your house when you're not there. For the time being, though, at least it seems you'll have to be home to receive a package from Scout when it stops by. I've been waiting for this one for a while. A Boeing company flying car designed to whisk passengers over congested city streets and dodge skyscrapers completed its first test flight on Tuesday, offering a peek into the future of urban transportation the aerospace giant and others are seeking to shape. A prototype of its autonomous passenger air vehicle completed a controlled takeoff, hover, and landing during the test conducted in Manassas, Virginia, the maker of military and commercial jets said in a statement recently. Propelled by electricity, the model is designed for fully autonomous flights with a range of about 50 miles. The Chicago-based plane maker and arch rival Airbus SE are among a slew of companies racing to stake a claim on flying cars and parcel hauling drones, which have the potential to be the next disruption to sweep the aerospace industry. Boeing's push was boosted by a 2017 acquisition of Aurora Flight Sciences, whose projects include a new flying taxi it is developing with Uber Technologies Incorporated. Boeing CEO sees air taxi prototypes ready for takeoff next year. Others are also rushing rotorcraft concepts to market. Vahana, the self-piloting air taxi developed by A3, Airbus's tech-centric Silicon Valley outpost, completed its first test flight last year. Intel Corp and EHang Incorporated are also testing their flying vehicles as well. Morgan Stanley analysts, in their most bullish estimates, predict such technologies could lead to a $2.9 trillion industry by 2040, while their most pessimistic view pegs the value at about $615 billion. Boeing's urban air mobility arm, called Boeing Next, enlisted Aurora to design and develop the prototype, while Boeing didn't say if the model is the one Boeing developed for Uber. The ride-hailing company said separately Wednesday that the vehicle is on track to be an air taxi on the planned Uber Air network. Dallas-Fort Worth and Los Angeles will be the first U.S. cities in the aerial ride-sharing network, and commercial services may start by 2023. Boeing's next portfolio also includes a full electric cargo air vehicle designed to transport as much as 500 pounds, which completed its first indoor flight last year and is slated for outdoor testing sometime this year. The birthplace of the Walkman wants to be first in flying cars. Future flights of the 30-foot-long and 28-foot-wide PAV prototype will test forward wing-borne flights and the transition phase between vertical and forward flight modes. That's according to Boeing's statement. The company will also continue testing the advanced safety and reliability of the aircraft. Some notable stories from CES that we just didn't have time to really get into today. The first one is the LV pump. Yes, I'm talking about a breast pump here on your weekly tech update, but this one is heavy on the tech. One day, people are gonna look back at the medieval torture devices that used to pass as breast pumps, only to be astounded and appalled at the same time. The LV pump, which just announced FDA clearance at CES to start shipping in February, so right around the corner, is the world's first silent, hands-free, smart breast pump. It's attractive and discreet, with multiple flange sizes for women's different shapes and sizes, we'll say, and a clear reservoir to check how much milk you've pumped. You can also connect to the LV app to log your pumping history and volume, and I'm sure share it with your friends on Facebook so you can compare. You know what's happening if it's not available yet. Soon, an analog breast pump is just gonna seem outdated, and as outdated as a phone with a rotary dial. I'm sure lots of people don't even know what that is anymore. Second on the notables list is the Ergo Neo. Something like that. It's the third iteration of Ergo's direct-to-consumer Class 1 hearing device, and it has a redesigned tip that makes it much, much more comfortable. Now, it's almost completely invisible when inserted into the ear. You can see it when you really peer your way down there, but otherwise you can't even tell somebody's wearing it. The new shape also minimizes occlusion. That's a phenomenon that commonly occurs when a hearing aid starts amplifying the sound of the wearer's own voice. Just double tap the outer ear to switch between hearing profiles as you move between different environments. The Neo has an app as well if you need to connect with someone to get a better fit. And it's affordable. At $2,550, it's about half the cost of other hearing aids on the market. Next up is the Dogness JS04 Smart Retractable Leash. What do you look for in a gadget at CES? Really, utility. Sure, but creativity as well. It should be accessible, but also indicative of broader trends. Ideally, it should also be new, not a warmed over rehashed gadget. And the only gadget at CES that seems to tick all of those boxes is the JS04 Smart Retractable Leash from Dogness. Launching this week, JS04 makes leashes modular, letting you screw on a Bluetooth speaker, an LED light, or even the doggy bag container. If you think that sounds silly, well, you'd be right, but it's also gloriously practical. It doesn't just rethink the humble dog leash, it blows up your conceptions of what a dog walk should be. Number four on the notables list this week is the Nordic Track VR bike. I am a VR junkie, and anytime you bring VR into the workout fold, I've got to give it two thumbs up. Having trouble getting motivated to ride your stationary bicycle each day? Well, Nordic Track has you covered. They think VR gamification may change your mind a little bit. And I'm betting they're right. And it's going all in on the idea. The Nordic Track VR bike is a stationary bike that comes boxed with an HTC Vive Focus standalone virtual reality headset. The game that you can play is Aeronauts, and it has you pedaling to power a flying vehicle through rings, kind of like pilot wings. The bike has an Xbox-like control scheme attached to the handlebars and can alter its intensity, change its incline, and even shoot gusts of air at your face. Sounds pretty cool. It comes out this summer for about $2,000, which is actually pretty reasonable if you think about it. A VR-capable gaming computer could cost you well over that. Number five on the notables list from CES this year is the Butterfly Ultrasound. It was first showcased when it launched in 2017, but it's worth revisiting. At CES this year, the company showed off its first artificial intelligence application, which helps users position the handheld IQ device to get a useful image of their heart and then computes ejection fracture. It's a measurement of cardiac performance. Butterfly also demonstrates its teleguidance capabilities, showing how any of the company's ultrasound customers could benefit from specialized knowledge from an actual doctor. Some FDA hurdles remain to be cleared before consumers can use it. Professionals, however, already can get their hands on it. But IQ is about as smart as home healthcare gets. Number six on the notables list this year is the MUI. M-U-I is how it's spelled. When you see the MUI from across the room, it just looks like a standard wood panel. But walk up to it, drag your fingers across the grain of its wood, and it springs to life with glowing light. The MUI is a discrete smart home controller. You can use it to adjust the lights and the thermostat, fire up a playlist, or display the weather. Stop interacting with it, and it turns back into a neutral and beautiful wood panel. So much better than yet another screen in your home. At least some say. I'm not opposed to screens myself. The MUI was a successful Kickstarter and should arrive, fingers crossed, in the fall sometime. When it starts shipping to non-backers, you'll be able to get one for your very own for $999. Number seven on the list is Sennheiser, the Ambio soundbar. They showcased this at CES, and it's pretty cool. It's very suited for audiophiles. It sounds almost as nice as an expensive 5.1 surround sound system, which is good considering it's from a quality audio company, giving movies and TV a room-filling soundstage with booming bass in a single, hassle-free soundbar. It does that with an army of 13 drivers and a tuning system that uses an external microphone to precisely map out the walls and ceiling height of your room. It's the only soundbar compatible with Dolby Atmos, DTS:X, and MPEG-H standards, and it can even play Bluetooth and Chromecast. This thing's pretty cool. Sennheiser says it will hit stores in May for about $2,500. Number 8 on the notables list from CES this year is the new headset from HTC, the new Vive Pro I. It takes virtual reality to an entirely different level. With built-in eye tracking, it can let you select objects and options within the VR experience just by looking at them, turning your eyes into a controller of sorts. Games or apps will know when you're looking around and can better guide you. Eye tracking also helps VR software conserve CPU and GPU power. You won't even realize it, but an eye tracking headset only needs to render what you're looking at in extreme detail. The Vive Pro I will likely cost north of $1,400 when it comes out sometime later this spring. Number 9 on the notables list is the Owlette Band. It's a thin fabric tummy band an expectant mother can wear while sleeping after she's 24 weeks pregnant. Thin ECG sensors are woven into the fabric, which counts kicks, notes the mother's sleep position, and it even logs the contractions. All metrics, by the way, that expectant mothers are encouraged to keep track of on their own. The latest German electric motorcycle company, Novus, has just unveiled their new model at CES 2019. The bike sports one of the most innovative carbon fiber frames ever seen on a production electric motorcycle. It almost looks like a bicycle. However, this price puts this electric motorcycle into the top tier of luxury two-wheeled EVs. The Novus electric motorcycle is going to go for $39,500. I'll let that sink in for just a moment. The price is pretty high, but this bike is going to be out of reach for most people, considering that you can add on to it as well. There's still a lot to appreciate in the design, though. So let's forget about the fact that you and I probably will never ride or touch one of these. Instead, let's take a look at what happens when you give engineers and designers the ability to create an electric motorcycle without the confines of pesky limitations like budgets. The most visually striking components of the Novus electric motorcycle is the frame. It's a carbon monocoque. It performs double duty as both the structural exoskeleton and elegant body of the bike. It is also much lighter than steel, aluminum, or any exotic frame material. It has a direct drive hub motor that can power the 85-pound bike up to its maximum speed of 60 miles per hour. That top speed means the Novus electric motorcycle is best employed as an urban assault bike or for cruising on winding backcountry roads. But honestly, with a bike that looks this wild, you want to be going slow enough for people to see it anyways. The lithium-ion battery is mounted low on the bike to reduce the center of gravity and improve handling as well. It's rated for 60 miles of range and can be recharged 80% within 1 hour. With such a small battery compartment, though, that 60-mile range is almost certainly not measured at its 60-mile-per-hour top speed. If you pay $40,000 for this electric motorcycle, are you going to get a luxury bike? Definitely. Is it worth it? That essentially depends on your tastes. If you have the funds and you like the design, then it might just be worth the cash. There really isn't anything else out there quite like it. But as is the general theme in electric motorcycles right now, you have to pay to play. The new KitchenAid smart display with Google Assistant is a gadget designed for the actual reality of your kitchen. It's messy when you cook. The 10-inch display is rated water and jet resistant. So if you accidentally aim your faucet the wrong way, it should be just fine, at least in theory. Much like other Google Assistant-powered smart displays, KitchenAid's model responds to Google Assistant voice commands. And you can watch YouTube videos or make calls through the device as well. It includes cooking recipes from Yumly, one of Whirlpool's other brands. And just like the Google Home Hub, it can control your other smart home devices. Whirlpool is one of those companies that's trying to play across all of the smart assistant ecosystems. It has plans for an Apple Watch app, it just expanded its Wear OS app, and it has voice commands in its smart laundry app for both Google Assistant and Alexa. Its latest KitchenAid smart display is entering a crowded space where the Google Home Hub and Lenovo Smart Display are already competing. But like those other displays, the KitchenAid device has that water resistance factor, which definitely makes it a leap ahead, which could be a significant advantage in the kitchen over the others. Now, according to CNET, the Whirlpool smart display will cost somewhere between $200 and $300 and should be available in the second half of this year. A bit of entertainment news for you this week. The series, which was hosted by Robert Stack and ran for over 500 episodes between 1987 and 2010, is finally being refreshed by Stranger Things EP Sean Levy and his company 21 Laps Entertainment and Netflix. I hear that Levy is overseeing the revamp in association with Cosgrove Mirror Productions, the original production company run by the show's creators John Cosgrove and Terry Dunn Muir. The 12-part show will use reenactments in a documentary format to profile real-life mysteries and unsolved crimes, lost love cases involving missing persons, and unexplained paranormal events. Each episode will focus on one mystery. In the original series, actors played the victims, criminals, and witnesses, but family members and police were regularly interviewed. Cosgrove and Muir have been keen to revamp the show for some time now and have kept an updated web presence for the show with new cases readily available. And finally, happening in this week's What the? Royal Caribbean said a 27-year-old cruise passenger has been banned after he filmed himself jumping from the boat for an Instagram video. Nick Nadev posted to Instagram a video showing how he jumped from the 11th deck of the Royal Caribbean Symphony of the Seas. That's the world's largest cruise ship while it was docked in the Bahamas. Nadev explained, quote, "I was still drunk from the previous night when I woke up. I just decided to jump." Nadev was picked up by a small nearby boat and brought back to the cruise liner, where crew members told him he and his companions were being kicked out. Nadev said he spoke to local authorities and they said no charges were being sought at that time. However, Royal Caribbean said in a statement, "This was stupid and reckless behavior, and he and his companions have been banned from ever sailing with us again. We are exploring legal action." Thanks for watching your weekly tech update. If you have a story you think we should feature on the program, you need to shoot me an email, djraymcneil@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at Your Weekly Tech Update, and check out the podcast audio and video versions available on iTunes, Google, Spotify, Audio Burst, and elsewhere on the interwebs. Till next time, I'm Ray McNeil. Good night, world. Your weekly tech update brought to you by Holiday Home Care, Phillip Island, Victoria, Australia. It's your turn to relax.